Heidi Pritzel. She practices with the Aspirus Medical Group in Eagle River and in Rhinelander. Heidi's on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Jeff.
Heidi, it's nice to talk to you this morning, and we're going to be talking about kind of a, it's not the most up subject in the world. It's about getting the blues this time of the season, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, and I hope that we bring light into a little bit of this darkness that happens this time of year for so many people. So, Heidi, this is an important topic. Thank you for being here with us this morning.
And thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Heidi, your practice, what you do in your practice. Give us a little background first, please.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I am a master's prepared social worker, and so I obtained my degree at Hawaii Pacific University, my MSW and BSW, and moved back to Wisconsin about 13 years ago, where I began working for Ministry Healthcare, which is now Aspirus. And I began on the inpatient unit there at St. Mary's in Rhinelander, where I was able to obtain my clinical hours and then move into the outpatient clinical setting, working with our primary care providers on early recognition of mental health. I was very fortunate to work in a social work nurse role where we could jointly work on prevention for health as well as mental health. And then moving into the therapy role for Aspirus Kohler Behavioral Health. So I service adolescents through adults for psychotherapy.
What was it about this particular line of practice that attracted you, Heidi?
Well, I became interested in healthcare back in Hawaii. I was able to work for a private facility who focused on medically fragile children and their families. So I really liked that joint effort of healthcare with mental health, and then was very fortunate in my move to obtain a job immediately on the inpatient unit where I began to obtain my clinical hours for practice. So it was very important in that prevention and early detection of mental health.
Most of the time, we have no problem identifying our physical ailments. It's the mental ones that we sometimes have a challenge with. And so we're going to talk about seasonal affective disorder. I've been familiar with this over the years. I've been around people that have the disorder. But the first question I would have before we get into that specifically, there are so many different types of, and I'm just going to, just as a generic term, I'm just going to call it the blues. There are a lot of different types of the blues. And so how do you know which type you have? And I guess that'd be a first place to start.
Yes, so definitely when we're talking seasonal affective, we're looking more in the fall and winter months of those types of depression occurring. But when we do look at any mental health diagnosis, whether that be depression, anxiety, or mood disorder, we always encourage a primary care visit first, just to rule out any possible medical concerns that may be going on. So for example, like thyroid disease can look very similar to depression when really it is low thyroid levels and medical treatment is needed at that time. So we start there, and then the next important step, if those symptoms persist and there is no medical reason, then meeting with either a therapist or psychologist or psychiatrist, depending on the level of care that is needed for that individual.
So then specifically, what is seasonal affective disorder?
So the depression occurs usually starting in the fall months, and that just happens because of less sunlight, shorter days, as we see that change in darkness earlier. And so some of the symptoms that you may see with seasonal affective or winter depression would be feeling sad, having a depressed mood, loss of interest or pleasure in activities, that fatigue or kind of a slowed feeling you may have, along with shift in mood such as irritability and increase in isolation. But I think one of the biggest symptoms most people notice is that change in sleep. So usually we'll be seeing individuals sleeping more often.
How do you know if you're experiencing any of these symptoms? How do you know if it's SAD or another form of depression?
So it's important to meet with one of the mental health providers. And so whether that be a therapist, psychologist, or psychiatrist, you know, we are trained to diagnose the various depressions or other mental illnesses. And I think that's, you know, kind of moving away from stigma. There may be some symptoms, but they might not fit into one of those diagnoses. So we look at not only how many symptoms are present, because you have to have at least five or more symptoms, and if it's affecting at least two areas of their life. So, for example, work or school, or as they get out into the community, to have a full diagnosis.
I'm going to stick to this. I'm trying to figure out the right way to word my next question here. But before I get to that, as far as early diagnosis, like with a lot of the physical maladies that are out there, the earlier you catch something, the better. How important is it to catch something like this in its early stages?
I think it's extremely important, and just looking at where we live in northern Wisconsin, we know we receive less sunlight. So when you're looking at those northern states versus the southern states, it's so important to consider what's best for you. So looking at your vitamin D levels, looking at possibly light therapy to kind of mirror what we see in the spring when that sunlight comes out earlier. We know that if it goes untreated and we can see symptoms become worse, that's where people may withdraw more often, start to have problems at school or work, maybe even substance use or misuse, and then other various mental health disorders may occur.
Abraham Lincoln, a great man, once said he finds that most people are just about as happy as they want to be, but that is pretty flawed thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes along with that. You know, there's so many different treatments out there. And so, you know, one of the practices that I do is cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, majority of our thoughts are negative. I think it's over 70%. And so learning some skills to really work on those thoughts.
Wait a second. Let me interrupt, because I'm going to lose it. I've got this Swiss cheese memory. I don't mean to be rude, but that number is very surprising to me.
Yes. Yes, and so we really change the way we think, and so that has a lot to do, you know, with your environment and how you're raised and things like that. But that's kind of what the practice of cognitive behavioral therapy or dialectical behavioral therapy is really looking at those thought patterns and distortions that almost anyone faces. So how to kind of rewrite those messages that Abraham Lincoln refers to.
Yeah. So for people that generally get the blues this time of year, they may not have ever heard of seasonal affective disorder, and they just know that, they're summer people. We don't like the cold temperatures. We seek warmth, and we don't have any warmth. It could be a coincidence also that people necessarily, they may not have the SAD. They just are sad for whatever reason. But that's, I guess my point of this is, the only way you're really going to know the difference, the only way you're going to start feeling better or mitigate whatever you're going through right now, is to seek the help that's already out there, right?
Correct. Yes, and getting that early prevention care. So looking at that around August.
So as far, if people have been feeling this over the years, and now they're hearing this on the radio this morning, I hope some lights are going off over people's heads and say, you know what, I never even thought of this. Maybe I can't help this, because that's got to be one of the things that also goes through people's mind. Why can't I control my thoughts? I want to be happy. Why can't I be happy? You must hear that a lot from people that come to see you, too.
I do, absolutely. Yeah. And I think when we talk further about it, too, and normalizing that most of us go through those negative thought patterns, and really working on how to change that direction into more of the facts.
Just curious, how long have you been practicing, Heidi?
13 years with mental health and as a psychotherapist.
Let's go back over about the last 5 years or so. I'm just wondering what the statistics that you see are saying. Are we generally, over the last 5 years, are we getting in a better mood or in a worse mood, generally speaking? Are there any of those kind of statistics that you have to look at?
Yeah, there are several statistics, and we usually look at, like, our Wisconsin Burden of Suicide reports as far as for local data, and then, like, World Health Organization or National Institute of Mental Health, if people are interested in learning more about stats. You know, there's kind of a culmination, I think, of reasons why we're seeing this more. You know, I think of my adolescents that I work with. They are very forward-thinking in prevention for mental health, so they are recognizing it earlier and seeking help earlier. And that's kind of a generalized statement, but we do look at generations and the acceptance of mental health. We did, you know, it's very interesting. A lot of people will say to me, you know, a time of COVID, oh, yes, mental health went up. And actually, my patients were doing quite well in early COVID. I would say that 3 to 4 month marker. because everybody started talking about this and really recognizing, hey, I might have some anxiety going on about what's happening. And then as we saw that progress and things lasted longer and many shifts that we all faced, whether that be in work life or family life, is where we saw those increased rates of mental health.
And like anything else, the longer you let something go, the harder it is to cure or get over. And seasonal affective disorder or any kind of depression issues, the longer you let it go, the worse it gets. What is that? Now, I almost hate to ask this question, but I want it out there to be. I don't want people to think that this is something that's something to be taken lightly. Worst case scenario, if you let this sad go on unchecked, what are some of the bad things that we're in for?
Well, definitely, we always want that checked earlier, but I think it's also, we have to look at generations and the normalcy of this. And so when we look at symptoms and them increasing, this can morph into other mental disorders, such as depression or anxiety longer term. But I think the message that I really want people to hear today is mental health is treatable.
Yes.
And so at any time when you recognize any of these symptoms or are ready for help, it is very important to seek a provider who can help them with whatever they're willing to start with, whether that be a medication or therapy or starting with their chaplain to just have some conversation.
You know, let's get into that. That great segue. What are the treatments out there for SAD these days?
So we already talked about the therapy.
Yeah.
There's definitely medications as well, and that would start with your primary care provider about the best medication for the symptoms that you present with. Light therapy. I start almost all my patients who qualify for light therapy around early September, maybe even late August, and that just kind of mirrors that sunlight, and that is a light box that individuals can receive possibly through their insurance or even on Amazon. But the importance is really knowing about what that proper light exposure is, and that has to be 10,000 LUX. So that's not as the same as going in tanning, in a tanning bed. That's a different light that we use. And so we have them start that light therapy right in the morning for about 30 minutes, sometimes even 60 minutes. It just depends on what that individual can withstand to mirror and hopefully build motivation and improve mood at that time. But again, with light therapy, we do want you meeting with your primary care provider because some individuals may not qualify. So, for example, if you have some mental illnesses such as mood disorder, it can trigger a manic episode, seizure disorder, or any eye surgeries. We just want to check to make sure that's safe for you.
And what exactly, forgive my ignorance, Heidi, what exactly is a light box?
So it is exactly that. It is just a box with a very bright light, and you kind of sit it next to you, and all the instructions are in the box that you purchase. It's called a light box when you look it up, or light lamp, and it gives off a light of about 10,000 LUX. And so it kind of mirrors that sunshine when that sunshine is not there. And the whole concept is that light gets into your retina to hopefully improve your mood and ease some of those symptoms of seasonal affective disorder.
And I'm just trying to think of how this is, how it manifests itself. So you sit next to this lamp, you shine it right at your face, and you look at that, and that's going to help.
Well, it's off to the side, so you don't look directly at it, and there's a distance by there. But it kind of think of the spring. When the sun starts to come out earlier and earlier, we get up, we do things, we're more motivated. That is what that is mirroring, because we don't have that in the morning usually. But again, we always encourage our individuals to get outside, especially when that sun is out, even if it's in the winter months, because that is enough of that light exposure for the individuals, too.
So is this something that people would do like once a day to start the day, or when they start to feel down, they get in front of this lamp? How exactly does that work?
Mm-hmm. We encourage once a day, but again, it depends on the individual and what they can withstand, because they do talk about those side effects that may occur, like headaches or eye strain. So we just want to make sure that they stop it if that happens. And then we don't really encourage it in the later afternoon because it can affect sleep. So that's why we say the morning.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there any individuals who are more at risk than others for seasonal affective disorder?
Well, we do talk about this with our patients who have depression. depression, a diagnosed depression earlier, because it can add to symptoms or mood disorders such as bipolar too. We can start to see symptoms increase in those fall winter months.
There may be people listening right now, Heidi, who said, you know what, I'm fine, but I recognize somebody else that this might be affecting. How does somebody that knows somebody that they think that this might be the issue, how would you direct them to approach those people that they just want to help?
I think just letting them know they're there. Some of these individuals, I've heard more than not, think that they're alone. And so really just supporting and encouraging and listening to their concerns, trying not to be critical or judgmental, but more of that sensitive and empathetic approach. And then, you know, asking them, hey, do you want me to help you get help? I think that's so important, too, to have that normalized conversation.
Is this a relatively common thing, or are there certain things that can cause it?
Definitely in our area. You know, the farther you are from the equator, the more possibility of seasonal affective disorder. You know, when you look at the stats, I think there's over 1 million people affected by this, but not everybody knows. But when we look at actual percentages, it's probably about 5% of the population. But again, there's other percentages that go along with different diagnoses where we can see that increase in symptoms.
And it's simply the loss of daylight, which is the cause of this, correct?
Yes, not having that. And then also with the temperatures, too, that can help.
Is there anything that I did not ask you, Heidi, that you feel is important to leave our audience with here this morning about seasonal affective disorder?
I just think you really said it in the beginning about that early recognition of any of the symptoms that we talked about today, familiarizing yourself with that, going to evidence-based sites to learn about it, you know, such as like the World Health Organization or meeting with your primary care and just saying, hey, what can I do to help myself? It may not, as you said earlier, evolve into seasonal affective disorder, but may help to just improve your sleep over these fall-winter months. Or mood may change. And so we just really want to treat the symptoms earlier.
And reaching out for help makes somebody strong. So tell us how we can reach out for help. How do we get appointments? How do we get screened? What's the next step, though, if people are ready to take that next step, Heidi?
Yeah, I always say that. The people who sit in my office are the strongest people I know. Now, I do keep in mind this is generational. You know, I was raised in a generation where you fall down, you brush it off, and you get back up.
Yeah.
And we're learning more and more. Nope, crying, getting out these emotions is so healthy. So we definitely want to normalize this conversation more and ask for help. And we've talked about, you know, professional help for most of this interview, but that could be even a best friend and just saying, hey, I'm not doing well. Let's go get a coffee. Or talking to a church leader or a teacher or somebody that you are close with to just begin the discussion.
I know one thing I have to keep in mind always, I was given 2 ears and 1 mouth, and I need to use them in that proportion. And so, yeah, just being a good listener can really be the best thing you can do for a friend.
I agree 1,000%.
If people want to get a hold of you or make an appointment, is there a direct number that people should call, or just Google Aspirus Medical Group and go from there?
Yes, to go through Aspirus Medical Group, and then that requires a primary care provider referral to Aspirus Kohler Behavioral Health. I wouldn't say just me. There's many of us in this department who have all various specialties, so then we would be able to link that individual up with the most appropriate person for them.
I'm pretty sure this was the most important conversation I've had with anybody all week, Heidi, so I really thank you about this because I really think this is going to help a lot of people. A lot of people may be thinking, what's wrong? But maybe now they have a little bit of a clue, and now they can get on the road to healing. So, Heidi Pritzel, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've told us here this morning. And I want to thank Matt back there in the office for setting this interview up today because, like I say, I think this is probably one of the most important things we've talked about all week, Heidi. So thank you so much.
I really appreciate it, and I just would like to recognize our veterans today, too.
Yeah.
And just on behalf of Aspirus and myself, to say Happy Veterans Day to those vets and their families, and we really appreciate their service.
Boy, that's a great way to end our conversation. Heidi, thank you very much, and you're welcome here anytime, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
All right, and you.